I want to inform you of something. The devil doesn't want you to hear what's being brought to you this morning. A number of things have happened this week, past week, that have probably distracted you from what your purpose was. Maybe even started this morning. Maybe you had a hard time finding your shoes. But this morning, I ask that you all agree with me this morning in prayer that we'll open our eyes, our hearts to Him this morning. There is an attack on the people of the Lord this morning. An attack that will cripple some if they're not prepared. And I hope that this morning you're not one of those. And that you came through these doors not ready to just sing a song, sit in a pew, and hear some man read the Bible. But I hope when you walk through the doors, it's like when your mother would say, "Go wash up for dinner." And you say, "Ma, why?" And he says, "Well, your hands are filthy. You can't eat food like that." This morning, I hope that you came in this morning with the intent and the desire to hear from the Lord this morning. Let's ask the Lord's blessing this time. Father, we thank you so much for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. We would be nothing without you. We can do nothing without you. You're the lover of our souls. You're the lifter of our head. Father, you have healed us. You've healed our hearts. Father, we ask this morning that you would speak to us this morning. Speak to us words that change our lives. Help us to see things like we've never seen things before. Help us to have a desire to be holy that outshines any and every endeavor we've ever tried to do. Speak to us this morning. Work through me to bring the burden of your heart. We ask these things in your Son's holy name, Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I want to bring a message about your home. And before rumors start, no, I'm not planning to get another one unless you're talking about heaven. One of the things I've been noticing in my neighborhood is the amount of houses going up. Just amazing. It seems like between in a half mile radius, or even from the time from I leave my home to get here, 10 new homes have been built. And I'm thinking, it's like, why? I guess I ought to be thankful. That means there's more people to invite to church, more people to reach. But I look at this, it's like, man, our neighborhood is exploding. And here we live in the middle of the National Forest or in Akawaha, and it's like, I've never seen anything like this before. And it's costing a person to live in these houses. As I pulled up to into the road where our neighborhood is, I see signs starting saying, houses starting at $250,000 for a house that is on a quarter acre lot with a wood frame that might be 3 bedrooms and 2 baths. Might be. And you look at that, it's like, wow. People are investing that to live near us. It's amazing. I understand there are a number of reasons that people move. And I was reading an article about it. Where should I move? 5 important questions to ask before moving. And if you have had that thought this morning, I hope you don't, but if you're planning to move, and here's some questions that maybe you want to ask. When I read these 5 questions, I think they're important because it causes you to compare where you're at now and where you want to be. The first question that is in this article says, can I afford to live there comfortably? Do residents enjoy a high quality of life? Wow, that sounds like a great question to ask. Is the job market strong? How is the health care in that area? Does it have the type of environment and culture I am looking for? I would say all these are reasonable questions and comparisons that should be done to where you are now. We see homes as our castle, our protection from the elements, from thieves and robbers, areas we can take comfort in to just kick off our shoes and relax. But even after the questions are asked and the decisions are made, you may be finding yourself settling for the wrong house, in a stronghold that was never intended for you. I like for us to ask and answer a question this morning. I like for us to all answer it honestly and personally. Am I living in God's stronghold this morning? If you would turn in your Bibles to Nahum chapter 1. If you aren't familiar where the book is, find the first book of the New Testament and go back 6 books. Turn left, 6 books. We're about to read about a familiar city. Most of us remember the story taught as kids about Jonah and the whale. May also remember that he went to the city of Nineveh. God had told Jonah to go and warn the city of their soon destruction, and they repented in sackcloth and ashes. About 150 years, the city has already strayed into wickedness again. And God sends another prophet by the name of Nahum to warn the city. And we begin reading in verse 1 of Nahum chapter 1. The burden of Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. God is jealous, and the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries and reserve wrath for his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth, and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at his presence, yea, the world, and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Nahum begins this chapter with the character of God. He is a jealous God, a protective God, a God that is slow to anger. He then goes to describe his strength and his power. But in verse 7, Nahum describes him as a place where the city of Nineveh had left. They had left the stronghold of the Lord and were living in the comforts of worldly walls of wickedness. It took 150 years for them to get that way. How long does it take for you and I to leave the stronghold of God that has been provided for you, for us? And why would a person do this? Let me give you a reason. Because they have forsaken their faith. Faith to that person is no longer a precious commodity, but it is seen as if it were a pair of socks. When I need them, I'll slip them on. If it's too hot, I'll slip them off. If it's too cold, I'll put them back on again. Faith is seen as a convenience, not as a vital part of their life. I know there are some that are going to mentally argue with me and excuse themselves and say, I still believe in Jesus Christ. I still attend church when I can. I still pray. I still love God. Do you? At what cost? Let me ask you this. When it comes to the instructions contained within the Bible being applied to your life, what do you do? Ignore it or obey it? You know how some answer? Well, I'm somewhere in between. Or it depends. Or most of the time, I'm not ignoring. Listen, ignoring what God tells you isn't an act of faith. Obedience is. Let me repeat this. Ignoring what God tells you isn't an act of faith. Obedience is. If you would turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. In verse 24, we'll begin reading. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses was confronted with the exact same decision that you or I are confronted with every day. He had to make a hard, fast decision. He had to ask and answer the question, do I leave the stronghold of God and live a life of ease and comfort, enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, or do what is right, suffer for a period of time, and receive a reward that all the gold in Egypt could never buy? He took faith that he had and invested it. I know some will say, well, that's not fair. Moses saw miracles. Moses heard God verbally. Moses saw a burning bush. Let me point out something that is very commonly overlooked. All those things occurred after this choice that Moses made. How and why did Moses make that choice? Moses took what knowledge he had of God and invested it by holding it tight, and his faith took off, and yours can too. Like Moses, David understood that there are house rules. There is a purpose for God's instruction. And he identifies this purpose in Psalm 71. If you would turn to Psalm 71, verse 3. Psalms 71, verse 3. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I continually resort. Thou hast given commandments to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. David recognized God as his habitation, and that he needed God as his house. He needed that stronghold. He asked the Lord, Lord, be my stronghold. To be that safety for me, that place I don't have to leave. Have you? Have you asked the Lord, be my stronghold? Have you cried out and set him Lord over your life? That takes faith to say, not my will, but yours. Not my rules, but your rules. What you say goes. David saw that and made those decisions. He saw that making God his stronghold involved more than just words. It meant a yieldedness to him. He saw that his rules weren't given to make life miserable, but they were to save us and to protect us and to protect the ones that we love. We have access to one of the greatest gifts God has given, our faith. We can have the victory over those temptations. We can win the battle over those addictions. We can rest in the stronghold of God. But it's going to be taking your faith invested in Him. If you would turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. In verse 4. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It's victory in the home when you can say, we're going to worship together in the house of the Lord. It's victory in the home when you teach your children the love of God by example. It's victory in the home when you have that quiet time with God and listen to that still, small voice. It's victory in the home when we thank and praise God for the good times and the bad times. It's victory in the home when we condemn those things verbally and commit to not doing those things that we see that are around us. Each and every one of us, these things are going to cost us something. Your faith. No faith, no victory. Doesn't matter if you have a little or a lot. You give all that you have. If you value your faith, you're not going to let things slide, even in the good times. It is said that history repeats itself, and after 1,000 years, what we are about to read in Deuteronomy chapter 32, it is still happening. You and I are living in a generation where faith is looked down upon, where faith is seen as useless, time-wasting endeavor. In Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 15, we begin reading verse 15, but Jeshurun, that's another name for Israel, waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. In other words, Israel's been so blessed. God's blessed them with wealth. God's blessed them with property. God's blessed them with His presence. But look what happens. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. And they provoked him to jealousy with strange gods, and abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto gods, or unto devils, not to God. To gods whom they knew not, to new gods that they newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of the sons and of the daughters. And he says, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation. Children in whom is no faith. This passage is referring to Israel. They started out right. They started out having faith in God be their stronghold. They had the victories. They were being blessed. But things began to snowball because some of the things that they did. It began by them rejecting God and then lightly esteeming the rock of their salvation. Well, how did they do that? The same way a person today does it. A person does this when they acknowledge there is a God. They have been blessed by Him. They know there is a judgment for sin. They know that God has a standard of what is right and wrong, but instead of obeying it, or obeying who they know to be true, they reject what He says. But it even goes beyond that. They no longer value God's salvation. The past few months, we've had some contractors come to our house. We had some flooring put in, and we had some problems with the air conditioner. It ranged from plumbers to electricians to floor tilers. Every one of them knocked on the front door. But only one of those, of all the contractors that came in, all the salespeople were, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that. Only one of them asked if he should take his shoes off before he entered the house. Why would he do that? Because he had a hard day and he just wanted to relax a little and see if we were okay with it? No, he had respect to us as owners, not to bring any dirt or mud in. The others, they lightly esteemed their entrance into our home. What was their thinking, if they thought at all, was it's only dirt. All you need to do is get a vacuum cleaner and suck it up, and the mess is all gone. The individual who continually lightly esteems the stronghold of God that He has provided will eventually, if they haven't already, remove themselves from residing in God's stronghold and into someone else's. I hope this morning that you don't lightly esteem the price that was paid for your sins. I hope this morning that things you've been wrestling with are given to Jesus with every iota of faith that you have. Confess it as sin this morning and ask God to be your stronghold, to be that stronghold. I want you to see a man this morning who had even a greater battle than you and me. It took every ounce of faith he could muster. If you would turn to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. In verse 17, we'll begin reading. Mark 9:17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. Wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him. And he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, and they could not cast him out. And they could not. He answered them and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him and fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he answered his father, How long is it ago since this came in unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus saith unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And he cried and rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. I want you to notice a couple things in this event. First, this man knew he didn't have enough faith, but he gave everything he had. Look at verse 23 and 24 again. Jesus said unto him, If thou, didn't say to his son, but he said it to the dad, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father cried out and said unto him, Lord, I believe, help thou thine unbelief. This father gave him every bit of faith he had. He knew he needed more faith and asked for it. God's grace abounded to this father, and his son was restored. Some of us here, we know that we need more faith, and it's about time you do something about it. Dwight L. Moody, a famous revivalist in the time past, said this. Faith, and he quotes a scripture, and if you want to look it up, it's in Romans 10:17, but faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is, when faith comes, it is not for me to sit down and wait for faith to come stealing over me with a strong sensation, but is for me to take God at his word. Let me repeat that. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That is when faith comes. It is not for me to sit down and wait for faith to come stealing over me with a strong sensation, but is for me to take God at his word. Are you taking God at his word this morning? If so, you're going to be exercising your faith. It only makes sense. A basketball player doesn't become a good player by reading all the plays, watching the games, studying dribbling techniques. He becomes a good player by exercising the things that he knows. This morning, won't you come to Jesus and ask him for the forgiveness you need? And repent of those things that he's told you of. The things that are holding you back, the things that are causing you to lose the battles that you've been fighting for so long. 1 John 1:9 says, If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do that this morning. Come to the stronghold of the Lord. or return to the stronghold of God. Don't wait. You're not guaranteed any amount of time. All you have is right here, right now. God looks in your heart, and he's either seen excuses or he's seen a complete person saying, Lord, I'm open before you. He searches the hearts. He knows what no one else knows. He knows the trouble. He knows the battles that you've won and you've lost. What will you do? Will you take it to him this morning? It's your choice. No one can make that choice for you. We have an invitation up here if you want to take that time to say, Lord, I am coming on my knees before you this morning. And I'm saying, Lord, here's my heart, every piece of faith, every fiber within me, I am giving to you. I am investing it in you this morning. What will you do with that? Will you be that individual who says, Lord, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do what your word tells me to do, and the Holy Spirit has told you, says, yes, I've been telling you so long. Don't stop your ears up to him this morning. Respond to him this morning. Whether it be up here, whether it be in the seat, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, accept him today. Make that decision public. Jesus made his decision for your love, or his love for you public, by dying on the cross for your sins. This invitation, Lord could come in the middle of it. He may not delay till another 5 years, 10 years, who knows? Use the time that God's given you. What will you say? What excuse, what justification will you provide when the Lord says, time's up? At that moment, you appear before the throne of God. Every part of your life is in front of you, is presented, either investments of faith or not. Growth or shrinking. I hope this morning that you took that step. The Lord's been telling you. Maybe he's dealing with you and says, oh, I can't do this. You're not Lord of my life. And he's made it clear. Maybe that's the commitment you need to make this morning. Don't hesitate. Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your love and your grace, and your mercy is so abundant to us. Father, we ask that you would continually speak to us, continually guide and direct us. Father, but we ask that one other thing, that when you do show us these things and you do give us your direction, you do show us black and white, clear as day, that this is what you want us to do, we make no hesitation in obedience. Pray for those who made decisions. Be with them. Open their eyes to see the things that are going to cause them to fall and help them to get rid of it. In your Son's holy name we ask it. In Jesus' name.